You'll get started. Parshas Behar over here. Parshas Emor and Chutz La'aretz. It's fine. Next week we'll have to do double parsha of Shnayim Mikra, Arba Mikra, Shnayim Targum. Come on, you know. Come on, Sax. You're the math guy. So. Okay, so we're going to talk a little about the parsha. Start off with that at least, and then I'm probably going to go on a rant. As you know, I like to give. It's good sometimes to give musa to yourself. You're all welcome to listen, in on the show over here. So if you take something to heart, keep it in there, work on it. It's a good thing. Anyway, Behar talks about a lot of different things, like every other parsha, so that's a good opening line. But what Behar does talk about is really interesting topics, which may not seem to connect to each other between the topics. For example, you have Shemitah and Yovel, and all those things connect to each other, obviously. And then you have all these mitzvos of land, and it's different within walled cities and non-walled cities, and timing. What's holding it together on this? Time. These are all within time. Specific time, specific instances of specific things, not your general cases. That's mostly what the parsha is about. But we're not going to focus on the whole thing. We'll focus on different parts at different times. So now we're going to, pun intended, we're going to turn to close to the end of the parsha in Perek Chaf Hei. Perek Chaf Hei is where it begins to talk about Shemitah and Yovel and Bechule. And it says in Pasuk Chaf, V'chi Tomru, we'll start from Pasuk Yetet, V'nasna ha'aretz p'yria v'chaltam l'svo v'yashavtam l'vetach aleh. Right? And the land will give its fruit and you'll eat from it. And then, yashavtam l'vetach aleh. You can rely on the land, you can live there, it'll all be good for you. Betach. Betach achi. Kapar alai, akol, seder, yala. Next pasuk, pasuk chaf. V'chi tomru, mano chaba shana shvit. Anyone want to tell me what v'chi tomru means?
When you will say.
V'chi tomru, when you will say, mano chaba shana shvit, Shemitah is going to come, or before Shemitah, and you're going to be like, what am I supposed to eat? Like, I'm a farmer, and it's back then, I guess, like, everyone's, like, a farmer. Either you're a farmer, or you're, like, a scholar. And he's talking about the farmers, because the scholars don't ask questions here. They have the questions written down. But V'chi Tomru, it's going to come to say, it's almost like a nevuah. The Torah doesn't usually come this way, but the Torah comes to say, V'chi Tomru, manu chabash na'ashvid, what am I going to eat on the Shemitah year? Hein lo nizra, v'lo ne'asof, etu'atenu. Meaning, I didn't plant anything, so the land's not going to give me anything. Therefore, I have no food to eat. I'm not going to be able to eat anything. It's a solid question. It's like, you know, your mom coming over to you and saying, like, don't eat tomorrow, but don't worry. And that's it. And you're like, but I'm going to be really hungry, because if I don't eat tomorrow, I'm going to be hungry. It's a solid question. The question is definitely better than the last part. But God answers the same question that he says that you're going to ask. And he says, my answer to your future question will be, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'tziviti et birchati lachem bashana shishit. Strange lashon. V'tziviti et birchati. We'll go with Uncleus's translation over here, which is V'efaked yat birchati, meaning I will be poked. I am the one who is in charge of blessings, therefore I will, like a mifaked, I will be in charge and I will give you a blessing over here. Although literally, vitziviti means, what? And I will command a blessing unto you, whatever that means. Hard to understand. That's what we're going to go with Uncleus here. But either way, God's giving the blessing on that year. Lachem, but in which year? Lachem ashna shishit. In the sixth year, I'll give you a blessing. Ve'asat tvua l'shlosh hashanim. And that blessing is going to last for you for 3 years. And the next psukim go on to explain how that works. How in the sixth year you're going to get a much larger amount, and that's going to last you for the seventh year, and then you're going to plant it in the eighth year, and you're not going to get your food till the ninth year, but the food from the sixth year is still going to be good in your ninth year, and then in your tenth year, you'll be able to get your food back. Big news. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to ask this question, and I'm answering it before. Very interesting. The Reb Chaim HaKadosh, buried like 500 feet in front of my, like 500 meters in front of my face right now. If you don't go down into the valley, you just go straight across, right on the cliff in Har HaZeitim, who davened right like 20 meters from here. As you can see, I'm very good at math. And he says on this, Pshat HaKatuv Hu Al Zeh HaDerech V'chi Tomru Manocha. Okay, what's the Pshat? Pshat is, there's a question here. Right? Manocha, what are we going to eat? A solid question. He said there's two ways you can read something, okay? We all know all these mistaken text messages when you get a text message and you're like, is that a joke or he really hates me? It happens all the time. That's why texting is a scary thing. Emojis help a little bit, but not too much. But he says there's two ways to read it. Ha'alef, hu tam shlilut haratzon b'davar shlo yizra'u v'chule, she'im kein manuchal be'echarach Aldama. Meaning the person's asking like you expect me to do Shemitah? What am I supposed to eat? Like, are you serious? That's just a bad idea. Logically, that doesn't work out. That doesn't make sense to me. That sounds dumb. How about not? How about I plant it and guarantee have food? That sounds like a better idea, God. How's that? That's the first way of asking. We'll call him, for lack of a better term, the Rasha.
Cynic.
The cynic. The Shar, as the Noam Elimelech says. He doesn't see Rasha, he just sees Shar. Same letters.
V'derech bet, hu she'ela al hanizbav mikiyu mitzvah zu manochal kevon shlo nizra.
So the second guy who's asking, the same question, the same words, he says like, all nice and dandy, God, but like, all, I'm all human and all, and like, I'm going to do it, but like, what am I supposed to eat? Like, seriously, like, what am I supposed to eat, Mom? You know, what am I supposed to eat? You know, look in the cupboard. There's nothing in the cupboard. So there's two ways of asking it. Same question, again, the Pasuk says, V'chitam rumano chabash na'ashvit. So it's like, oh yeah, what are we eating in the seventh year? That's stupid. And then the other guy's asking it is, what are we eating in the seventh year? Like, I really need to feed my family. I have a family to feed. And I'm going to be doing it, but I'm, you know, I'm a human being and I'm worried.
And
he gives the same explanation of the mother and the, well, the, he says father and son.
Aval im tiyah kavanasam maimer manuchal derech harishon, az lo yitzav Hashem itam et habracha.
He says, when's the bracha going to come? If you ask it like the second guy. If you ask like the guy who just really wants to know. He wants to know, like, I need to feed my family, God. I love you and all, and fear you and all. And I'm going to do it, but I'm really worried. And it's understandable that I'm worried. And I'm going to do it, but I'm worried. And God answers that person. The second person, God's not answering. Because he's not really asking. He's just asking. So there's two ways of asking.
We're not going to go through the whole thing inside, but the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, which I recommend you read, the Zohar Lernum through Steinberger and Maishan Aleph, and I still remember it. And the way he starts off Hilchos Avodas Zohar, Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, right, what's Avodas Kochavim? The worshippers of the stars, or paganism, one fancy word.
Elu ve'elu.
But essentially what he comes to do, the Rambam, in his opening of, well, in all of Perek Aleph, really, is tell two stories. The first story is how Avodah Zarah started. And the second story is how Avraham Avinu found Judaism. Okay? And here's how he says it. Out of it. He says basically that there were a bunch of people in the world, okay? They came with Seichel and everything like the rest of us, but less experience, so less knowledge. You know, they had no father telling them, God is here, God is there. But they all believed in God. They believed in God, says the Rambam. They believed in God. Everything was good, but they couldn't see God. So what did they do? They said, okay, we can't see God, but God has these amazing creations. The sun, the moon, the stars. Let us praise his creations in his name. Okay, this is something that is complicated in Judaism, but it's not necessarily totally, I mean, we don't pray to the God, but we make a blessing on the moon. God's creations are amazing. God is amazing. Look at what he made. It's not necessarily wrong what they were doing. Praising God's creation. I mean, because sometimes you need to connect to something. Sometimes we can't just daven, we need to turn it into a song sometimes in order so that we can connect to it better. That's not avodah zarah. To use something in order to connect to it better. If you don't know what you're doing, if you're praying to the actual caver, instead of praying to God in front of a caver, b'schus the person, then you're probably doing avodah zarah. At least according to the Rambam. And Rambam hates avodah zarah. In every case, you're not b'koreis. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, so he says they continue, and their sons see them, that they're staring at the sun, moon, and the stars, and they're saying, wow, God is great. Look at these creations. You are amazing creations. And they get a little mixed up because there's no official chazal telling them how to daven. And the generations pass. I don't know, everyone lived to like 900 then. It was a pretty cool time. Or just like annoying. It was like, must have really good health insurance back then. But their kids started to be like, oh, they're davening to the moon. They're davening to the stars. And what started to happen? They started davening to the moon and the stars. And they forgot about God. And it was a slow process, kima kima, as they say, until avodah zarah came to be. Kima kima was not upon. But, yeah, that's good. But, essentially, that avodah zarah started from misconceptions, from misunderstandings, not from a bunch of people who are like, God is stupid, there is no God, but if he was, he would be stupid, and they're doing the same hand thing that I'm doing, because you have to do that, and they probably got a picket sign in their right hand. And it was total avodah zarah in the world, paganism, like you said. And everyone was, you know, one guy's worshipping a cow, and one guy's worshipping the grass, and the cow's eating the grass, so his God dies now, and it's a whole crazy thing, and everything is a God, and everything's not a God, and then they start going to the bathroom on gods and throwing rocks at gods, like the Gemara says. And then Avram Avinu comes along. And Avram Avinu is born to parents who aren't necessarily Ovdei Hashem, because no one knows what Ovdei Hashem are, and no one else in the entire world is Ovdei Hashem. Agree to disagree. And Avram Avinu, says the Rambam, starts to ask questions. He starts to ask questions, like all of us do. Definitely us Jews. Us Jews definitely ask questions. And Avram Avinu, like, looks up at the sky, you know, doing his bodas one day, because obviously Avram Avinu was a chassid. And he's like, so, how are the clouds moving? How is the world spinning? How is this all happening? In his days, it's probably like, how is the world flat? But like, he starts asking all these questions. And he doesn't have any answers. You know, some have their gods, or like, the god says this is flat, or the god says it's round. But Avram Avinu is like, there must be something greater. There must be something greater. So I'm going to look into these questions, I'm going to look into these answers, but I know that there has to be something greater that I can't understand. And Avram Avinu, on his own, and the Rambam goes through how and which questions he asks, and it's really amazing, you should really read it, we're not going to get into it, it's a very long parak, very short parak, but very long for a Musar. I got too much to say. And essentially, he discovers Judaism on his own by asking questions. The same questions that the kids of the original people who believed in a God asked, but instead of them saying, oh, we don't know and we don't see him, but we need something, so we'll just dive into the stars, or we'll dive into the moon, he says, I don't know. And simply, I don't know, and I'll accept that. But I know there is something greater. And that's how he got his connection to God. That's how he grew with his connection to God. So that's the story of how avodah zarah was created, and the story of Avram Avinu. That Avram Avinu got with the same questions to the same place. It's just how he asked them. Hold that thought. Now that we did the Rambam, we need to go a little bit back to Chassidus. Even though the Rambam was a chassid, we all know that. but because every single sect of Judaism claims the Rambam to be his own, right? The Taimanim say he's a Baal Halacha, the Brisker say he was a Lamdin, the, I don't know, everyone, the, you name it. Everyone says to be, he's everything, okay? Sorry? He was a philosopher. Okay, the doctors say he was a doctor. He pretty much covers all things. What do lawyers say?
He was a lawyer?
He was a lawyer. There you go. But now we're going to go into that, back to that pasuk of Chinom Ru, back to that same question that God says that you're going to ask on the seventh year, where it says, V'chitom Ru manocha b'shana hazeh, v'tzivit yed berchati lachem. And Rav Elimelech Milizhinsk, Rav Melech, most of you, I'm sure, had his cave here, so you have a little bit in you. You'll understand it. Also, it's Erev Shabbos, you'll understand a little bit. He says, "B'shem Achi, Hechasid HaMeforsam." Does anyone know who that is?
Abzusha.
There you go. "B'shem Achi, Abzusha, Rav Elimelech's brother, best friend, the member of the Chevra Kadisha of the Magnum Mezrich." So he brings the Torah in his brother's name. The holy Abzusha is Chus Yigenu Leinu. "V'yeshul Daktik, Heu she'atar yatzta b'chan midarka she'derech hakar lichtov eze yitur lashon b'pasuk afilo ot achalf v'alideze metoritz kamakushiyot." He says a very interesting hara. He says the Torah is a game of Jeopardy. The Torah is a bunch of answers and a bunch of things, and our job to find out the Torah is to ask questions on it and to figure it out and know that this is the final answer of it, but we have to go and ask these questions in order to find those answers. We can't just know these things. We can't just assume, put on tefillin. What do you mean, put on tefillin? How do you pull on tefillin? What color does it need to be? Does it between your eyes? What does that mean? What do all these things mean? We need to understand all of it. The Torah is a game of Jeopardy. Okay? And our job is to play. And Trebek is God. I guess.
What is it, Morgan?
Are there any daily
doubles? Or Morgan Freeman. Aval. Are there any daily doubles? Of course. Aval, hakushya lo nichtav ba'atzma ba'Torah. The question's almost never written in the Torah, ever. There's never a question like, oh, there's a question, why do we put on tefillin, and why does it have blah, blah, blah. Oh, v'samtem al yadecha, and there's your answer. And that's why we put on tefillin. It's just a bunch of, it's a book of answers. It's a book of answers, and we need to figure out the questions in order so that we can figure out the details. Okay? V'kan nichtav akushya b'Torah. But here, in the Torah, God writes the question over here. God says, you're going to ask the question, what do you mean, hold Shemitah? We're going to be hungry. We're not going to have any food. He says, here, God asks the question that we're supposed to be asking. V'tova yashalo lomar kiyim v'tzivit yet birchati. V'meil lo yaksha shum davar lomar manochal. Seemingly, according to Rav Melech, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He created these channels, He created these tzinorot of Shefa that influence us, that come down into this world and give us sustenance. And they do. We have these channels of sustenance that are put into this world. Moshchim, that we pull down into this world, of derech hashefa, and this way of abundance, shelo lahafsik klal, and it never stops. It's always going, this derech hashefa. Kadosh Baruch Hu never stops it. Okay, here and there, you have your little potato famine. Actually, big potato famine, I guess. But you have this and that, Mitzrayim famine, and this, but essentially, God is always bringing shefa into this world, non-stop, 24-7, even on Shabbos. Actually, no, the Mon did not fall on Shabbos. I take that back. Although, yesterday was, according to the Chassam Sofer, at least, the name of the Yusyadner, was the day that the month started falling. So, the same day as... No, we're going to leave that aside, but happy Monday, after post-Monday, even though it's Thursday. V'derech Hashem sholav sik klal, elok she'adam nofel mi madrigato, and now he's going to get to the person. When a person is at a certain level, and he falls from that madriga, he falls from that level, and he loses his confidence in God. He slowly loses his confidence in God. I don't get it. Or he has some questions, or he just doesn't feel it that day. It's not a good davening. Still 7 in the morning davening. Okay, Friday, 7, what is it, 7:15, 7:30? I don't know. It's earlier than 8, that's all we know. And 9 o'clock was the early meeting in America. The one who really watches over us, the real Mashkiach, okay? Rav Lifshitz is also the Mashkiach Amiti. So is Rav Chavshush. Hazanu Mufarnes Briot Pli Avsekal, who gives us non-stop food and parnasa and all these things, sometimes more and less, but always he's giving us them. That's how we're here. Azosa Adam Ahu B'machshavto Ahi, and this person, Asher Lo Metahar Pagam Chalila, who unfortunately is not so tahor and has dropped in his madrega, chalila. Ba'olamot ha'yonim u'matishin koch pamal shamalia, rachman letzlan, and he's kind of using what God gives us in this world. He's using those things. The zan v'az nifsak ha'shefa chalila, and then all of a sudden it stops. The shefa, he thinks it stops. He thinks that God, because God is giving him a little less now, that all of a sudden God stopping the shefa. So, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to renew all the Shefa. That a person needs to be complete in his bitachon. A person needs to have complete faith in God that Shefa is going to happen, and that's when the Shefa is going to happen. And not ask, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to eat today? What am I going to eat tomorrow? Kika, there's nothing in the fridge. Kika sher chalila yipol min habitachon lachshav mayochal. When a person gets this madriga, unfortunately, chalila it shouldn't happen to us, and asks, what am I supposed to eat? It's the seventh year. There's nothing for me. Hu oseh pagam chalila. He unfortunately drops. He drops a level. V'yatarcho klape shmayel tzavot mechadash. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to kind of, kibiyachol, needs to restart it a little bit. Meaning, you need to get back up to that level. V'chi tomru perish kasher tomru kach. We're not going to get into this part. There's a star next to it, which means deep Kabbalah. And that you need to have continuous bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order for that continuous shefa to continue through. Which makes sense. So once again, but he makes an important part in the beginning, a very important point, that the Torah is a book without questions. A Torah is a book which has us ask, to find out. The Torah is a book of answers, and we need to figure out which questions to ask. The question is, pun intended, which questions do we ask? And not only that, but how do we ask questions? And what if it doesn't make sense? So now I'm going to bring a keta from the Mor Nevuchim, and I was going to bring it in Hebrew, but the Rambam wrote it in Arabic, therefore I think he wants me to tell it to you in English. So I'm just going to read a little bit of Chelek Shlishi in Perek Chavav. Okay, I was zocher learning with Rav Brody, which was a really amazing experience. And I'm just going to read a little bit from this English paragraph. It's hard to listen to English. It's been like almost a full year since we've heard English read from a book. It's cool. But this is what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim for the perplexed, right? This is the guide for the perplexed. And the Chelek Shlishi goes into the mitzvos, and this is what he writes right before his Sefer Tameh mitzvos in the Mor Nevuchim, where he gives the reason, or he attempts to give the reason, for all the 613 mitzvos written in the Torah. That's what he says. As theologians are divided on the question whether the actions of God are the result of his wisdom, or only his will without being intended for any purpose whatever, so they are also divided as regards the object of the commandments which God gave us. Some of them hold that the commandments have no object at all, and are only dictated by the will of God. Others are of opinion that all commandments and prohibitions are dictated by His wisdom and serve a certain purpose, serve a certain aim. Consequently, there is a reason for each one of the precepts. They are enjoined because they are useful. All of us, the common people, as well as the scholars, the Nevuchim, believe that there is a reason for every precept, although there are commandments the reason of which are unknown to us, and in which the ways of God's wisdom are incomprehensible. So far he says, there are reasons, okay, there are different types of people. There are people who say that God just said a bunch of things, but it's not for us to do. That's the first person. He says, but the common folk, the majority of the world, who believe in God, say, like, God has a lot of things to say, but a lot of it I don't understand.
and a lot of it doesn't make any sense to me. Why? Because God, His wisdom is higher than mine. This view is distinctly expressed in Scripture, that's the Torah, righteous statutes and judgments, that's from Deuteronomy. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There are commandments which are called chukim. Okay, what's chukim? Chukim are mitzvahs that we don't know the reason for, or ordinances, he calls them. That doesn't help me. Like the prohibition of wearing garments of wool and linen, shatnas, boiling meat and milk together, right? Basar v'chalav, kashrut. And the sending of the goat into the wilderness of the Day of Atonement, right? Shlochet azazel, throwing the off the cliff in order to atone for Am Yisrael's sins. Our sages use in reference to them phrases like the following: these are things which I have fully ordained for thee, and you dare not criticize them. Meaning, believe them and do them, and if you don't, you're going to get punished anyways, whether you like it or not, because you have to do them. Your evil inclination is turned against them, and non-Jews find them strange. Okay, this is Lashon Chazal. The non-Jews find them strange. We look weird when we're in a Russian airport, and there's a minyan of 10 Hasidim, and you're like, I'm not going to daven with them, because, like, it's Chil Hashem. No, it's not a Chil Hashem. They find us strange because we're Jews, and Jews are strange, and we do strange things, and we don't know why. Sometimes. But our sages generally do not think that such precepts have no cause whatever. I mean, the Chacham don't think that there is no reason for any of these things, and serve no purpose. For this would lead us to assume that God's actions are purposeless. Because if you think that they have no reason, then you're going to come to think that God's just giving us things to do. Right? And the Aramaic say, lekader. Okay? That comes from shoveling. Meaning, just to pull weeds and do different things. There's a word for that in Hebrew even. On the contrary, they hold that even these ordinances have a cause, and are certainly intended for some use, although it is not known to us. Meaning, they have a use, these mitzvahs. We have no idea what they are. We don't know why we have to do them, owing either to the deficiency of our knowledge or the weakness of our intellect. Consequently, there is a cause for every commandant. Every positive or negative precept serves a useful object. In some cases, the usefulness is evident. The prohibition of murder and theft. We understand why you can't kill. We understand why you can't steal. There's logic behind it that we can understand. In others, the usefulness is not so evident. The prohibition of a vineyard in which other seeds have been growing, right? Klayim, planting different things together. We don't get it. Those commandments whose object is generally evident are called mishpatim, judgments. Now starting to put things in order, and he has a whole order in things. You could read it one day. Those whose object is not generally clear are called chukim. Okay? Thus they say, and we'll finish this next few sentences, thus they say in reference to the words of Moshe, ki lo dabar raku mikem, right? It's not, for it is not a vain thing for you. It is not in vain, and if it is in vain, it is only so through you. Meaning, if something is done through vain, if something is done stam, it's only you doing it stam, because there is a reason for it, whether you know it or not. That is to say, the giving of these commandments is not a vain thing, and without any useful object, they all have purpose. And if it appears so to you in any commandment, it is owing you to the deficiency in your comprehension. He says that if there is, he's very strong here, and this is one of his lighter paragraphs. He talks about this in a few places, the Maran Avuchim, but he basically says, every single mitzvah has a purpose, every single chok has a purpose, all of these have a purpose. But some of them we don't understand, shatnas we don't understand, kashrus we don't understand, all these things we don't understand. But what? We do them. Why? Because they have a purpose. We don't get it. God is above us. And if you think they are, you're totally wrong, and you're not bikores. And you're wrong. And the Rambam who writes a sefer on Talmei Mitzvos, on giving a reason for each one of the 613 Mitzvos, writes in Perek Lamed Aleph in his introduction, if you look at it, that I'm about to give you all the reasons for this Mitzvos, but these might not be the reason for the Mitzvos. They can, if these help you do the Mitzvos, great. That's why I'm helping myself. That's why I'm giving these reasons to you. But I don't necessarily know which and what and why, and some of them I don't even have a reason for. The Rambam says it himself. So if you know better than the Rambam, very nice. But, in the meantime, the Rambam says, God's knowledge is above you. And even if we think the reason is something one time, that's not the reason we do things. The reason we do things is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do them. Whether it's Mishpatim or it's Chukim. I'm going to go to one last piece of the Yesh Kodesh.
because it's the Yesh Kodesh, so I'm going to do it. I'm not even looking at my watch. And this was the only recorded piece on Parshas Behar. And it happens to be I gave part of this piece at my, those who were at my wedding, I gave it at my chazan's tish. Saffron was there. And, sorry? Also gave the Siman, that's the story. I happened to give a Siman Sota and only realized afterwards, wow, I just gave a Siman Sota and spoke about Ishus Ish at my chazan's tish. Anyway, I guess it was the last time I could get away with it, but... But in Parshas Behar, in the Warsaw Ghetto, on May 13th, 1940, was a tough time for the Jews. Okay, there was about 160,000 people left in the ghetto. And all the invasions started, France, Holland, Belgium, and the bombing starting, and there were bombings, like aside from the Nazis being and killing everyone in the ghetto, there were also bombings on the actual Jewish ghetto, so like... The world had totally lost them. And if you look in the famous diaries from Warsaw, Chernikov, for example, he writes that, you know, you didn't see life. You only saw death in the streets. That's what it was. You saw death. You didn't see life. You saw death. Even if you saw something living, it was just a potential death. That was what it was over there. And here the Yesh Kodesh has a position to give a drasha to these people right now. And here's what he has to say on Parshas Behar. The parasha starts off as Vaydeber Hashem el Moshe Bar Sinai Leimor. Kach Baruch Hu tells Moshe on Har Sinai. And Rashi brings over here, Ma'inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. Okay, Shmita was in the last parasha, the end of the last parasha. Valo kol ha-mitzvot nemru mi-Sinai, meaning weren't all the mitzvot given at Har Sinai? What is the connection Shmita to Sinai? Ela ma Shmita ne'emru klalotau pratav diktu kea mi-Sinai. Just like all the klalos, the generalities, and all the specific descriptiveness, and all this every little tiny diktuk of Shemitah was given at Har Sinai, af kula nemru klalotem v'diktukei mi-Sinai. So too, all of the mitzvos, and all of their specific things, and every single nekuda of every single mitzvah was given at Har Sinai, not just Shemitah, go. Okay, that's what Rashi says. And that's the connection between Shemitah and last week's Parsha and Har Sinai in this week's. Now, if you know the Yesh Kodesh, he never starts off with the Parsha, which is always fun. So where does he start off? With a nice book called Shir HaShirim. And he asks an amazing question. If you look in Shir HaShirim, in Perek Vav, it's not very long, you can look in it. In Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, it says the very famous line, that you'll hear in a few months already. You can count the weeks. El Anil Dodi V'Dodi Li. Right? I am my beloved. I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. And later on in Perek Zion, in the next Perek, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Anil Dodi V'Alai Tshukato. I am to my beloved, and his passion is unto me. Okay? So he asks a question. I don't get it. I don't get it, Shir HaShirim. How do you start a relationship? You don't just walk into a relationship and boom, it works. You start a relationship, you build a relationship, kima, there you go again, and it's a process until you figure out which is the right person, even if it's in the more Haredi circles, at least they go on a date or something, and they figure each other out. They have a little bit so they can see yes or no and whether it's working or not. And they see if there's passion, if there's tshuka, if there's a yearning. But here, it brings anil dodi li, meaning the relationship first, and then it brings the passion. He says it's out of order. I don't get it. Why is that? How could it be out of order? That's not how relationships work. Why is it written in this order? Aval kashi'ichi yisraeli notena atzmo l'kadosh baruch hu. And don't forget, he's talking in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1940, when everyone lost the majority of their family already, including himself. That when a Jew gives himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, azav she'en ro'yoy od she'Hashem k'biyachu yiten et atzmo elav, that even if it doesn't look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving himself back to him, right? This person is giving his all. Help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of us here in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1940, we're crying like, God, save us, help us.
And it may look to you as if he's not listening, if he's not do di lecha, or do di lach. He doesn't have that tshuka, that passion for us, that yearning for us. We don't give ourselves because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us back passion. We give ourselves because we got the Torah, and the Torah told us to do that. And we have a bris that we made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like He made with us. And we both signed the ksuva of bris avos. And we got a bris mila, promising the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're going to be a couple forever and ever, and you'll bring your wife into it, and we'll be a triple, and it'll be fantastic. And whether you think he's with you or not, in the house or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signed on that relationship, just like you signed on that relationship. So whether you see the passion or not, it's happening. And that's why he says, Anila Do Di Li comes first, because first the ksuba came, even if you don't feel the passion first. And if this person, you in the Warsaw Ghetto, you keep saying, Anila Dodi, I am for you, I'm doing everything I can to still be in touch with you, even though I have no reason to. I lost everything. There's nothing. But he's not dropping his bitachon as Rav Melech brings down the name of his brother Abzusha. I'm not losing my bitachon. I'm not falling. Anila Dodi, but he's not hearing Vidodi Li. Rakam v'alai tshukato shegam rotza mishtukek el ayish shroya ha-prati hazeh. V'chein ish ha-yisraeli af she'od ein tshukato kol kach liten et atzmo ha-kadosh baruch hu mikol mokam yiten v'yachzor v'yiten ad shegam tshukato titorer liten atzmo elav yitbarach. And he says, you who lost all your family, who hasn't eaten in weeks, you need to keep doing that. Just keep saying, anil dodi. Anil Dodi, until it works, if it takes a million times, because he's there. And eventually the passion will come, and you'll do it till the passion comes, until you see him, until you know, you keep doing it. Imagine telling that to someone, having the heart to tell it to someone who just lost all of his family. And he doesn't like to talk straight, usually, the Eishko. If you ever read it, it's pretty rare that he talks directly about the situation that they're in, about the actual tzaras. But here he says, when a Jew's in tzaras, when a Jew's in terrible tzaras, where it seems like there's no hope, and there's no one to save us, it's impossible. The whole world is against us, no one cares about us, and just look outside. Just like Chernikov said, there's just death. There's no future. There's only a growing death. That's it. Rak hu yitbarach ba'atzmo yechol hoshiyam. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can save you. Kvar him nosnim at atzman b'lev shalom v'tshuka elav yitbarach. Aim to continue and continue and continue until he brings that tshuka to you. Here he says something wild. Aval tzrichim likvo b'zichroninu b'kirbenu t'matzavenu hayom b'etz sarah. We need to be realistic about the situation we're in. It's crazy here. That we're saying here, oh, halavai, it'd be great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us, and he's going to give us jobs so we can make money and have food just like what it used to be, and we could learn Torah and all these amazing things. He says, you probably think I'm crazy that I'm telling you to keep telling God and have that faith in God when everyone around you is dying and you have no one left in your family and there's not an ounce or a parcel of food left to eat. You probably think I'm crazy. He says, you probably think that we, you know, by doing this, you're going to feel like an idiot. I'm an idiot. Who am I? I'm such an idiot. This guy's right. Who am I to believe in God? And this is why a lot of people didn't after that. And understandably so. There's logic to that. And he says that, but it's not the reason that we're saying Anil Dodita Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the reason. That's not the reason that we're saying Anil Dodi, so we can get a job and we can get food. We're saying it because Anil Dodi V'Dodili. That's it. That's why we're saying it. That's why we're saying it. And it's not a punishment that this has happened to us. We don't know why. Tzrichim lishtokik lishua kadesh nukhala avdu od yoter mashem ukdam. And what do we need to yearn for? What do we need to daven for? In order so that we can be better over the Hashem. Imagine who he's talking to here. He's talking to these people saying, don't daven that you can have food. Don't daven that you can learn Torah again. Daven that you can be a better Ever Hashem than what you were before the war. Crazy. He says, and we need these tzaras in order to get to that level. Crazy thing. He says, we need them for now. Later on, he comes to a little bit change his mind on that, but he says, we need these tzaras in order to get to that level. And he brings one more Torah here to finish up the piece. Hen yoshnam anashim shechoshvim bekirbam lemor, umachatati, umakabel atzmi yoter. What more can I do? We ask, we sit here. What more can I do? Ahim chasfil ani maniach tefillin? Do I not? I mean, I'm a Jew in the Warsaw Ghetto and I'm putting on tefillin. What more do you want from me? What more can I do to entice God to say, anil dodi? I'm in a drusha in the Warsaw Ghetto instead of looking for food for my family. Like, what do you want from me? Do I not keep Shabbos? But what? It's not enough to know tefillin. We need to know how to put on tefillin also, right? We need to know how to daven. It's not just the Torah says, put on tefillin, now what? We don't know all the small parts. How we do Shabbos, what are the halachos? How do we learn Torah? What's the derech halimud? Kirom shegamala pratim, the famous medrash from Shmos, kafa kadosh baruch hu aleim esar kigis, v'amar lem im adam gablim et atoram mutav, v'im lav sham teik ruatchem. Kadosh baruch hu, it's kafa lem har kigis, kadosh baruch hu takes a mountain, takes a beer vat over our heads, he says, accept the Torah, if not I'm going to drop this on all of Am Yisrael's heads, and when we say Nasa v'nishma, right, as we know later on in Purim, so kimi mashi kibul kfar, we accept it to be ahava, but here we accept the Torah by force. Visva, and that's from the Gemara in Shabbos. Visva medrash tanchuma brings in the medrash on Parshas Noach al Torah shabal peh kafaleim, that it's on Torah shabal peh, that it's on the Torah itself, not on all the specific descriptiveness. Afshe kvarik dimu nasa v'nishma, because we had already said nasa v'nishma. Neshiyesh paharbe diktukim, because we needed to understand what we were saying nasa v'nishma to. That's what the medrash tanchuma says. V'yifshar, and the Yesh Kodesh, the Pius Etzner, all the Pius Etzner says, V'yifshar lomar sh'al Torah shabal peh, ha'mefareshet et mitzvah Torah shabechtav ha'kavana shu'tzrach l'kafot aleim harkigis. It's impossible to say that the Torah shabal peh came, and then the Torah shabal peh, before the Torah shabechtav, because in order to accept the Torah shabal peh, you need to know the Torah shabechtav. Once again, ki ech ze nikayim v'ayalecho liot ayatcha. How could it, meaning, that's what the pasuk says about putting tefillin on your arm, tefillin shal yad. V'ayalecho liot ayatcha. Does anyone in this room know now how to put on tefillin, or what tefillin looks like, or anything about it? The fact that it has to be black, or you wrap it on your arm 7 or 8 times, and do some crazy things with your fingers, and that it's four, separated in 4 areas, and shins in specific places, and special knots? No, all we have is v'ayalecho liot ayatcha. But then what? We have the Gemara Menachos. With the Gemara Menachos, right? With Rabbi Yossi Achorin, where it goes between how and why, and we get into all the specifics of tefillin. V'eich amru nasa v'nishma b'lo ha'pshat shalem. Meaning, he says it's impossible. It's impossible, the Yesh Kodesh says. We had to have known before in the specifics. Ela al ha'gz... So he says then, understand, what did we accept? Kafalei makikis. If we already had accepted the Torah, Nasa v'nishma, Torah shabal peh and Torah shabichtav, so then the Yesh Kodesh says, you know what we accepted by Kafalim HaKigigis? Not the Torah shabal peh, not the Torah shabichtav, massive chiddush here. He says, Ela al ha'gzerot ve'archakot, she'osifu ha'chavim ha'chavana she'kafalim, ro'im eich ha'akpada al zeh. The gzerot and the archakot. The gzerot that Chazal added, the chumrot that Chazal added, all these things that the Gemara brings down later, all these added things that Chazal put into place in order so that we're not over on any averos guaranteed midaraisa. Not guaranteed, but at least helping us out. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over our heads for. Shocking. V'chein Yisa b'sifrei kadosh mikadmoni b'marsha zal. He says he saw in the Marsha, who says mikadmoni, I believe he's related to him, mi-domani b'marsha zal, she-hagam she-schar mitzvah b'hai al-malekah. You know, the Gemara in Kedushin says, schar mitzvah hai al-malekah. It's not, schar mitzvah is something that's beyond us, right? We don't know how the system works. Not in our hands. You know, it's not like you can go to your schar app and check, like, your percentage of schar and how many HP you have on your Pokemon. About Maven Yavin. Mikom makom, masha ish mosif al atzmo, go na chakot v'kadoma yishlo schar ba'lamazeh. Where's the schar ba'lamazeh? Chumrot, he said, hachakot. Just remember who he's talking to here. He's sitting in the Warsaw Ghetto. He's telling people who are giving of their entire lives, whose families are gone, they have no more food left. They're still, it's going to get much worse even. It gets much worse. This is nothing, this part of the war. It gets much worse. They don't even know about the camps yet. They couldn't even imagine such things. And he says, I know you're putting on tefillin, very nice. That's already like crazy, right? As the Rishner says, you have to give one Rishner Torah on every Musar. The Rishner says that people at the time of Ikfas of the Mashiach, someone putting on tefillin is going to be like a tzaddik ador. That's what the times are going to be. Okay, so we're all tzaddikim ador. It's nice to know. We're all amazing tzaddikim. Meaning that's how hard it's going to be. And we see how hard it is sometimes to put on tefillin. Yitzhar is a strong dude. Strong dude. He's annoying. But what? He says to them, great, you're keeping Shabbos. Great, you're davening Kadosh Baruch Hu still, even though you have all these other things to worry about. But he says it's the chumras that's going to give you the schar b'lamazeh. It's the harchakos. It's the separating yourself. The making sure that you're not going to be over on anything. Crazy. V'zesh ramza hal Torah pratius v'diktukei haTorah miSinai. And this is what's hinted in the pratios and the diktuk of Sinai, like Rashi mentioned. Of Har Sinai, that's all given at Har Sinai. Hainu lazeh shekaf aleim et Har Sinai gam la pratim. It was also on the specifics of the mitzvahs. Ukeshe yishmar gam la pratim as a Torah mavticha. When you keep all those specific, and when you keep the archakos, when you keep the chumos, and you keep your menhagim, and all these extra added, seemingly extra and added things, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you, like it says in our parsha, sheish shanim. Don't worry about it. You're going to have food. You're going to have it. Just believe in me. So to finish off over here, we spoke about this whole idea of asking. It's the only place in the Torah, seemingly, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the question for us and teaches us how to ask, what to ask, that it's okay to ask. How do we know it's okay to ask? Avraham Avinu discovered Judaism through asking. It's important to ask questions. It's important to say, why is this guy spinning? What do you mean that we're better than Goyim? What do you mean that all these questions of what do you mean, Ben Sora Mora? Why are we learning this? Why do we kill animals, carbanos, all these things. We all have these questions. This year specifically, not saying this machzor, but in your Shana Aleph, or Shana Bet, you start to think about these things, about these logical questions that we have. But like the Rambam brings down, he says, you're right. They're darn good questions. They're darn good questions. They're amazing questions. But what? We didn't create the Torah. We can only ask, and we can do our best to find out. But when push comes to shove, it's from God's comprehension. So don't expect yourself to understand it. And it's frustrating, and it's hard. And it's annoying when you have to go back to college and explain to your non-Jewish friend, no, it's not like that. No, not really. There isn't Amalek anymore. So, like, let's not talk about this. And all these crazy things. And even to yourself, of going through these debates in yourself. And we ask these questions, just like Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu asked, unlike the Avodas Kochavim, he asked on the basis of, I don't know, but there's something beyond me. There's something greater than it. And it's important, like normally Melech says, to keep that pitachon. Because when we don't keep that pitachon, that's when we get farther and farther. And the farther you get,
the harder it is to get back to where you started. And to finish it off, the Esh Kodesh, I'll be here when he talks to these people, Rachman al-Tzlan, which who knows how many of them made it through the worst, where he brings in Hanukkah, and I believe it's Tavshin Bet, the worst thing to happen in Jewish history to date, hands down. Agree to disagree, but I'm telling you right now, hands down, the worst thing to happen. We hope it is the worst thing to happen, and that's it, in all of history. But he says to them, it's not about just doing it, and it's not about just believing in it also. It's about doing it for a reason. It's about doing it because that's what we do in order to get tshuka. It's not just anila do divi do dili. That's the first and most important thing. To have the basis, that there is something greater than us. There is something larger than us. And we did sign on that ksuba with a Kaddish Baruch Hu saying, we're yours. Nasa v'nishma. We're 100% to you. And that's how you have to ask the question. But you need to ask the questions in order to get to those parts. And even if the answer isn't good, the most important thing and where the schar really comes from, in order to keep that nil dodi v'alai chukato, in order to have that passion, what do you need to do? You need to make sure that you don't fall through the cracks. That you have set up your own things. That you know that it's hard for you to wake up. So you know what? You wake up 10 minutes earlier. Or you daven at a late, or whatever. I'm not going to get into that part. I'll introduce you to Chabad and Shana Gimel. But you know that something's hard for you, so you need to find what helps you. Because that's what Judaism's about. Not just going through the ropes and it's amazing, you put on tefillin, and you are a tzaddik ador, and you put on tefillin, and you learn Torah, and you're wonderful, and you're amazing, but we all have the things that are hard for us. And to really have that connection, to find that passion with God, is to work on those things, and to be honest with yourself. Of finding what's hard for you, knowing that it's hard for you to read a Gemara, and then just doing it again, even though you hate it. You hate it. You're learning, I don't know, Irvin, God, and just the whole thing, but you know that by learning it, you're going to understand it more, and you're going to be doing it. Like he says, Lasot v'lachzor v'lasot v'lachzor, until the tshuka comes. Do it again, and again, and again, until that passion comes, Yiratzon, we shouldn't have to wait for that passion, that Anil Dodiva Dodili comes true before Elul, even before the base is built, if that happens, Beis HaMikdash too, that will happen, that's happening. And Mirtz Hashem will be dancing together in the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Everyone have a great Shabbos.